Genesis 19, I'm going to read a verse in Luke 17, a very short verse, but a very interesting verse. It says in Luke 17, 32, three words: remember Lot's wife. That has never been written anywhere in Scripture, and the Lord doesn't tell us to remember anyone else, never mentions anyone else by name. Through all of Scripture, that's the only person where the Lord said, remember. He directly, distinctly, intentionally says, remember Lot's wife. The reason he says that is because what happened to her is important. The reason he said distinctly, remember Lot's wife, is because what happened to her can happen to us. I say this morning, I think this message probably will be more precautionary and maybe a warning more than anything else. But I feel like the Lord's given me the direction to go ahead and preach. In Genesis chapter 19, beginning in verse 15. And the morning arose when the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Go on to verse 22. The angel still, haste ye, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city is called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities which grew upon the ground. But then notice in verse 26, and his wife, Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The Lord says in the New Testament, thousands of years later, remember Lot's wife. And as we look into the book of Genesis, we find that Lot and his family had moved into Sodom. And I want to try to deal with first Sodom's path. You notice that they had moved into Sodom, but they had not always lived in Sodom. And the thing I want us to understand, and the thing I think the Lord wants us to realize, is that that which happened to them can happen to us. Anyone here who thinks they're above moving to Sodom or getting into the world, anyone here who thinks they're above failing the Lord, is sadly mistaken. But worse than that, we're on dangerous ground if we think, that won't happen to me. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. If it happened to her, if it happened to Lot, it can happen to anyone. Sodom's path is a path that's downward. Sodom's path is a path that's difficult to stay away from. That's why the Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When we think it won't happen to me, we're exactly where the devil wants us. And we must be honest this morning. At least it would do us well to be honest, to realize that something's wrong. Something's wrong in our day. I've talked to several preachers. Their opinion is that many of the church folks are lost. I agree with that to a degree. No doubt there's people in this church this morning who don't know the Lord, that are headed to hell. But friend, I'm convinced that most of what's going on is exactly what happened to Lot and his wife. We need to realize, we need to be honest, we need to face facts as they are. Most Baptists are not dedicated. Most Baptists do not have a consistent time of prayer. Most Baptists do not spend time in the Word every day. Most Baptists do not live godly and separated lives. Most of the time, we need to be honest and just say we live as we please. So something's wrong. Something's wrong in this late hour. And we need to realize that there's a problem that needs to be dealt with. For if problems are not dealt with, if these issues in our lives are not dealt with promptly, they'll only get worse. So it was with Lot and his wife. They continued to go down the downward trail. Now some will say, oh, the world doesn't bother me. Some will say, I don't have any problem with the world. But friend, I have a problem with that. For even through Scripture, we find men like David and men like Paul and men like Demas, men who loved God, and yet we see in their lives the pull of the world. I'm trying to magnify Sodom's path. It's a downward path. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. For if it happened to her, it can happen to you. Could I remind you, she was raised among Christians. She was raised with a godly influence. Abraham was Lot's uncle, and they lived with him for many years. That tells me that we can be amongst Christians. We can be in a good, godly church. We can hear strong preaching and great singing. We can be around godly people and yet not be godly. We can be around godly influence and still have the pull of Sodom and the pull of the world affect us. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. If it happened to her, it can happen to you. Even in Christian families, some go toward the world. Even in godly churches, some go toward the world. Even with godly influence. Do you understand? She lived amongst godly people, but she wasn't godly. She lived amongst those who walk with God, yet she did not herself, at least to a point in her life. Sodom's path, it pulls people. It draws people. Her backsliding and Lot's backsliding was something that was gradual. Just like a path through the woods, you take it one step at a time. And their path from being right with God to being in Sodom was a gradual path. Could I remind you first that they looked? The Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. They would sit there at night, and they would sit at the tent door and look down at the city of Sodom. They would look at the lights, and they would hear the laughter, and they would hear the party going on. And they were looking toward the world. This path toward Sodom is a downward path. It's a path that every one of us need to be aware of. We need to be aware of the fact that the world and the flesh pulls us away from the things of God. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. If it happened to her, it can happen to you. Sodom's path, it pulls people toward Sodom. The world pulls us toward it. They looked. Friend, we need to be careful what we're looking at. We need to guard our eyes and guard our ears and make sure that that we're looking at is not pulling us away from the things of God. We need to make sure that what we expose ourselves to are godly things and productive things and good things, as the Bible says. What we watch and what we see and what we listen to will have an effect. I'm talking about Sodom's path. It pulled them towards Sodom. They looked. They listened. They longed. They sat there and looked at those lights and heard the laughter. And they thought, wouldn't it be nice just to go down for one night? Now, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to live there, but wouldn't it be nice just to go just one time? Doesn't it sound like they're having a good time? Doesn't it look like it would be something you could enjoy? In their heart, they began to long for what they saw. The world's pulling them. Sodom's pulling them away from the things of God. And so it is with us. Oh, in our bosom this morning, every person in this building, there's a flesh. And that flesh craves the things of the world. And it's not only the world's out there and the devil's out there pulling us, but our flesh says, go ahead. Go on. Isn't that what you want? Wouldn't that be fun? They looked and they listened and they longed. Now to this point, nobody could tell a difference. Abraham couldn't tell any difference in Lot or his wife, because they were just looking and they were just listening and they were just longing in their heart. But they were still doing what they had been doing. And many a person sits in church pews and they've heard the call of the world and they're thinking about, I wish I could get away from this church life and just enjoy myself for a while. I wish I could just live as I please. And that call of the world is pulling you. That call is pulling you toward the things of the world. But as far as your actions, I mean, you're still here on Sunday morning. You still show up sometimes on Sunday night. And sometimes maybe even on Wednesday. As far as the way you look and the way you're talking, nobody can tell a difference. But there's a difference inside of Lot and Lot's wife. I'm talking about Sodom's path. It's a downward path. They looked and they listened and they longed. But then they moved in. They listened to that inward voice that said, oh, that would be fun. Go ahead and try it. You'll enjoy it. Now, we don't know when they moved in. We don't know when the transition came, but they suddenly, all of a sudden, there was not only a difference inside in the way they were thinking, but now there's a difference in what they're doing. People begin to notice the difference. Now they're not just looking in the privacy of their night at looking out the tent door, but they've moved in. It's a gradual path. It's a gradual path that's one step at a time. They made one bad decision, followed by another bad decision, followed by another bad decision, and it's gotten them into trouble. And that's what happens to us. We go toward the world one step at a time. We listen to the flesh one too many times. I wonder if Abraham called them aside and said, now, Lot, I love you. I love you and your wife, and I'd do anything for you, but I just want to be honest. I've noticed a difference in you. You just don't seem the same. There's something going on. Is there anything I can do? I just want to let you know I'm here. I'm praying for you, and I'm burdened. I wonder if there's anybody watching you and seeing the difference in you. I wonder if anybody said, have you noticed a difference with Joe? Joe just doesn't seem to be himself. Have you noticed a difference with Susan? Susan, there's just something not right.
There's just something going on. I've been burdened about them. I wonder if there's anybody burdened about you because they're seeing the difference. You're heading toward Sodom. You're heading toward trouble. Could I just say right now, it's time to check up. It's time to stop now. You don't have to go all the way to Sodom. You don't have to go to the world. You don't have to be wrecked. You don't have to be ruined. You don't have to go all the way. You can turn around now. Sodom's path was a downward path. But I want to mention not only Sodom's path, but Sodom's power. They've moved in. They're living in Sodom. And by the way, I don't think they ever participated in all the sin that was there. I do not believe they submitted to all the wretchedness that was available. Now, their daughters probably did, and their sons-in-law certainly seemed to have, but they were just a part of the city. They were just there to improve themselves, humanly speaking. And friend, you don't have to be in the wretchedness of sin to be in the world. You don't have to go out and get drunk to be in the world. You don't have to throw your Bible down and stomp it to be in the world. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, because it's important. Sodom's path, but Sodom's power. If you notice in these verses that I read, the angels literally had to force them, literally had to pull them out of the city. And they knew destruction was coming. They were not in the dark about what was about to happen. They knew what was going to happen, and yet the angels had to pull them out of the city of Sodom. I ask a question. Why was it so hard for them to leave Sodom? Why did Lot's wife find it so difficult to leave that place behind? It looks like they would say, I am sick of this place. I want to go home. But they didn't. And the reason Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, is because even as she escaped, her heart was still there, for she turned around to look. Sodom's power. Why did it have such power over her? Why did she have such a difficult time leaving this place behind? It was hard for her to leave Sodom behind because I think of her relationships. Look in verse 26. But his wife looked back. She looked back as they were escaping. They were out of the city. They were already safe. They had escaped the judgment. They had escaped the fire and brimstone that was coming. They had escaped it. And as she's leaving, as they're going out of the city, she looks back. I'm convinced one of the reasons, because there was somebody in Sodom that they had become friends with. She had established relationships while she was in Sodom. And I'm convinced she looked back to see if that lady was looking, or that man was looking, that friend that she had gotten and established since they were in Sodom. I'm convinced she looked back to see them. While they were in Sodom, she established some friendships that meant a lot to her. My question this morning is this: what kind of friendships do you have? What kind of people are you hanging around? The people we hang around, we sooner or later will become like. They will influence us. If we hang around bitter people, we soon will become bitter. If we hang around negative people, soon we will become negative. If we hang around worldly people, sooner or later, we will become worldly. And while she's in Sodom, she's established some relationships that she just can't let go of. What kind of people you hang around? Do they lead you to God? Do they talk about the Word? Do they talk about how good God's been? Or are they people of the world? Are they negative? Are they critical? The kind of person you hang around with, you will become. She found that out, but it tragically was too late. I'm talking about Sodom's power. It had power over her. It was hard for her to leave because of her relationships. Look again in verse 26. But his wife looked back. She looked back to Sodom. I'm convinced that it was hard for her to leave Sodom. It had power over her because of her relationships, but also because of her remembering. She looked back. She remembered the parties. She remembered the drinks. She remembered the laughter. She remembered the good times she had had in Sodom. You see, the Bible teaches us. The Bible's very honest. It does not say sin is just bad. Sin will hurt. Sin will harm. Stay away from sin. The Bible's more honest than that. Even though it says those things, it also is honest in saying sin can be fun. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin. Listen, for a season. And while the angels are pulling her out, in her heart she's still thinking about that good time, that fun time. And friend, I want to tell you that's what the world will do. That world, when you first step into it, when you taste of the world, when you get a little bit of that sinful pleasure, it'll hold you, it'll bind you. You think you can jump in and out and there'll be no problem. You think you can just get in a little bit. I want to tell you, there's a power that sin has. The world has a power. You will be the slave. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. If it happened to her, it can happen to you. As she's been drawn out, she's thinking of the good time. And many people end up going to hell because they won't get saved, because they won't let go of the good times. The party, the fun, the pride, what people think. But many saved people won't really get right with God because flesh holds them. Flesh binds them. They're in Sodom. They're in the world, and it controls them. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, Sodom's power. Why was it so hard for her to leave Sodom? Because of relationships, because of remembering. Look in verse 26 again. But his wife looked back from behind him. Get the picture. Lot's leading them out. Behind him, his wife is following. She's leaving Sodom, following her husband Lot. And I am convinced in my mind, she's thinking as she's following him again, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be going through this to begin with. I mean, I followed him into Sodom. Now I'm having to follow him out of Sodom. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be hurting. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. Why was it hard for her to leave Sodom? Why did it have such a power over her? Because of her relationships, because of her remembering, because of her resentment. She, in essence, was saying, it's his fault. If it hadn't been, he's supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to walk it by God. He's supposed to do right to where we can do right. What she's trying to do is excuse herself and blame somebody else. Could I just say something real clear? We do that all the time. If my husband would live right, I'd live right. If my wife would live right, I'd live right. If my parents was right, I'd be right. If my children lived right, I'd be right. If there wasn't so many hypocrites in church, I'd live for the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you, we can't blame others. We make our own decisions. We walk our own way, and we are accountable for what we do. She was resentful. She was angry at him. Look in verse 26 again. But his wife looked back from behind him. Looked back. I thought about this. She's leaving Sodom. She's leaving that worldly life behind. But where's she going? Where is she being led to? She's being led out of Sodom back to where she came from. And I have got to think that in her mind she had these thoughts. Oh no, I've got to go back and face my best friend. I've got to go back and face Abraham. I've got to go back and face those people that I deserted. I've got to go back. I've got to go back to that same church. I've got to go back where I came from. I'm convinced one of the reasons why it was so hard for her to leave Sodom is because she knew if she got right, she had to go back and make it right with those people she had hurt and had wronged. So not only was her relationships and remembering and resentment, she had a hard time leaving Sodom because of her regrets. She had to face those that she had hurt. We sit in church this morning and we think we can play around with the world. Well, I want to tell you, when the world gets its grasp on you, and if God will deliver you, you'll find out it won't be so easy going back to those people that they're still walking with God. They're still in love with the Lord. They've still been shouting it out while you're playing around in the world and halfway living for God or halfway living for self and playing, trying to straddle the fence. They've been walking with God. Now you got to get back right and go back there. I want to tell you, no wonder it was hard. I'm trying to magnify Sodom's path, Sodom's power. Could I mention lastly and briefly, Sodom's price? I think another reason why she was having trouble leaving Sodom. I think another reason why she turned around and looked one more time was because in Sodom, two of her daughters and two sons-in-law were getting fire and brimstone rained on their head. She looked back because she saw that family that she loved that she would never see on earth again. It had cost her. The price had been too high. The price had been too extreme. She looked back because those daughters were there and those sons-in-law were there. They were perishing in the fire. And she looked back to see all those possessions, all those things that she had built up, all those clothes and those houses and all those riches that she loved so much, every bit of it being consumed. Sodom's price. It cost more than she realized. There's some things, listen to me, there's some things you'll lose in Sodom you'll never get back. When we walk away from God or just cool down or go our selfish way, we're going to pay. But there'll be some things that we pay that can never be retrieved, never be brought back, never be returned. That's too high of a price to pay. I ask you a question and I'm done. Where did all this start? They've gone to Sodom. They've ruined their lives. They've lost two daughters. They lost two son-in-laws, Lot and his wife, and their other two daughters escaped. But you read the verses, there's trouble still, there's problems still. It's cost them more than they could ever imagine. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. If it happened to her, it can happen to you. But where did this start from? Genesis 13:7, you don't have to turn. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. You want me to summarize that verse? God had blessed Lot, and God had blessed Abram.
And Lot mishandled the blessings of God and started saying, well, look at that well-watered plain. When God was blessing, listen to me, when God was blessing, they took the wrong steps. When God was being good to them, when God was being better to them than they could ever deserve, they took the wrong step. And that's my burden this morning. God's been so good to us. God has been so good to us. And we need to be very careful how we handle His blessings and not make wrong steps or wrong decision or look the wrong way or do the wrong thing now. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? She paid. And it cost her and her husband and her children and her family and her friends. And He, in essence, is saying, if it happened to her, it can happen to you. This morning, I'm talking to two or three different types of people. Number one, I'm talking to somebody who's lost. Oh, you've told people you're saved, but you're not. You told people you've been saved. You told people you're going to heaven, but you're not. And this morning, it's time to get it settled. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to quit just talking the talk. It's time to really get right. Come up here and get saved and get it settled once and for all. This morning, I'm also talking to somebody. You're in church, and you're glad you're here. And if you know your heart, you want to walk with God. If you know your heart, you want God's best. And you want to give Him your best. I thank you for that. I'm grateful for that. But could I say one thing? Remember Lot's wife? There was a time she walked with God. And the devil's desire, are you listening to me? The devil's desire is to take us from where we're at and run us and ruin us and wreck us and take us to the world and leave us a crumbled, worthless mess. And if we let it happen, it's our fault. I'm probably talking to somebody you've already wondered. You're already in the world. You maybe not got drunk last night, but you know your heart's cold. You know the excitement about the things of God's not what it used to be. You know you can go a week at a time and not pick up this book and not even think a thing about it. You know that you don't hardly ever pray unless there's a real big problem, and you don't hardly even think, what's wrong? Friend, I want to tell you, you better remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. It happened to her. It'll happen to you. It'll happen to me. I preach this message primarily this morning, I believe, because God wants to warn us that it'll happen to us if we're not careful. I believe there's some people that need to come up here and say, oh God, please help me to walk with You. Help me, Lord, not to be swayed by the world. Help me not to give in to flesh. Help me, Lord, these cravings that's natural, this pull toward the world that's natural and it's human and it's to be expected. Lord, help me not to give in to it. Help me to walk with You. You've heard the message. I'm convinced God said to go ahead and preach it. When I ask you, will you mind the Lord this morning? I've got a feeling if we don't, we'll regret it. I wonder how many times Abraham said to Lot and his wife, are y'all okay? Are you sure everything's all right? And they neglected to give heed to what the Lord was trying to say to them. Don't neglect Him this morning as He speaks to your heart. Because if you do, you'll be sorry. And could have said again, there's some things that Sodom will take away from you, you will never get back. And you'll regret it till the day you die. But I promise you, there's some folks in this building right now, I have no idea who I'm talking to. But there's somebody here right now, if you don't listen to this message, you'll live to regret it. But it'll be too late then. While you can get some help, come now.